Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. All right, let's turn to Matthew. First page, first book of the New Testament. First page, first book, first word. It's amazing to me that the God who created the universe would want to look on us, would want to think only of us. He has all the power, he has all the goodness, he has all the wisdom, and yet he picks out sinners who have totally gone against his will and purpose and decided to redeem them. There's no reason. There's absolutely no reason on earth that he would think of that, but he did. So that's amazing. For me, it's amazing that the God of the universe would care to go to all this trouble. Even historically, he doesn't even live in history, but he would historically give this genealogy, which I'm now going to read. All right, the book of... Now, this generation of Jesus, how he got here, this is a historical religion. I would venture to say that none of the others are, except Israel. They've come late, not only in time, but they didn't care much about time before or after. And they just come as a philosophy or as some kind of behavioral modification system. Try to get us to behave. And kings particularly like religion, so they can use it as one of their engines of control. And so most religion is only to produce good citizens or moral people or people that know how to submit. And so that is the general purpose for religion in the world. But God had a different idea. He felt like there couldn't be a just world without the true religion in its foundation. God could not, in fact, it's impossible for you to come up with any just government on earth that didn't have Christians in its foundation. So without this hope of Jesus, there would be no kingdom on earth that would be worth living in. And they would have perished long ago. They would have perished long ago. But only because God had in mind a just government on earth that would be founded on true religion, that is, religious liberty on earth. Liberty, why? Because God wants us to freely love him. There wouldn't be any need for liberty if he didn't. There would be just slavery. Everybody would be enslaved to some pharaoh, some czar, some caliph. But God, for 4,000 years, did not even introduce his son, though he was waiting in the wings before the foundation of the world. He didn't bring him in. And this genealogy is going to wait about 2,000 years until Abraham, and then it starts. So he wants to introduce his son this way. This is how he did it. The book of the generation of Jesus the Christ, Jesu Christu, son of David, that's 1,000 years before Jesus, or 3,000 years into the world. And then from Abraham, he calls him not only son of David, but also son of Abraham. That's another 1,000 years back, so that's 2,000 years before Jesus, and 4,000 years from the beginning of the world. So Jesus comes deliberately, I mean exactly to the day and the hour of the creation of the world. So if you go back 4 BC and then drop back 4,000 years, 4,004 BC, you have the beginning of the earth, of the natural world. Now, nobody hardly ever believes in that anymore, but I do. And I'm not foolish or unlearned or an idiot, but instead I don't trust the modern world. I don't trust the world that came about back in the 16th century. And even though there was a reformation of the church, there also was a renaissance at the same exact time, which wished to do away with the church. So the anti-Christian spirit always parallels the Christian spirit. And never, never will they be separated. And so until the Lord returns again to take us to himself, the wicked will rule. The wicked will be here. And so that's not a problem. God wants us to be in the middle of this world. Why? Because God so loved the world. So he puts us deliberately as the salt and the light in the middle of the world so that we could have a good impact on and perhaps save some. Not all, but some. So history follows this pattern of 42 generations from Abraham. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, that's not his last name. The Christ just means Messiah. That's just the Greek word for HaMashiach, Christos, or in this case, Christou, Jesus the Christ. Son of David, son of Abraham. Why didn't he say son of Moses? Why didn't he say son of Adam? Why didn't he say other sons? There are a lot of people he could have been sons of. Because those are the only two. Abraham being the oldest, he is the son of Abraham because the covenant of faith, and that's why our religion is the true religion, only that. We have faith because we don't have good works. Everybody else believes in the perfectibility of man or the improvement of man. And the modern world was built on that idea that man is capable of perfecting himself, improving himself, of being good, having good behavior. And kings like that idea so that they can have better citizens and so on. But the truth is that it ain't true. And since we have no goodness in us, according to God, there is no goodness in us, none. We don't have any. And why would God do that? Why would he create us with no capacity to be good or to obey him? Well, actually, he didn't. He created us with the capacity through faith. But we traded that in for works where we decided to be great ourselves. A little bit of pride there. And so we started building towers, proud towers of civilization, and turned against God without faith. We had trust in ourselves. We relied upon ourselves. And we felt, you know, if God can do it, we can do it. After all, we have a brain. How many know that you have a brain? Think about it. It's a brain. But that God actually made the world so it would depend on him. He made the world so that everybody would be dependent on him. So we decided not to be. That was one thing he said, don't do that. Because you don't know what good is, and you don't know what evil is. And I'm good, and I'm the one who's not evil. So if you try to do it without me, you'll end up with evil only. No good. So self-evident truths are natural. They are available to the natural man of reason and morals and, sense of justice. That's built into everybody. There's nobody on earth that doesn't know there's right and wrong. But they don't know what it is. They know that it is, but they don't know what it means in any given moment or situation. How many know you can make bad decisions? So even though you know there's right and wrong, that doesn't mean you'll do what's right and wrong. Or even that you want to do what's right and wrong. You'll do the wrong, you will not do the right. So whatever man is employed, everything boils down to this man, Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. Again, how could he create the whole universe and then just narrow it down to one person, his own son, who comes down from heaven above? And so this is amazing. So I'm going to read. You'll be bored by this, but be bored. It's okay. Because it has a point. Abraham fathered Isaac. Hey, we all know that. All right? Isaac fathered Jacob. Jacob fathered Judah. And his brothers. Judah fathered Phares and Zarah out of Tamar. Phares fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Aram. Aram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. This is like Solomon. And Solomon fathered Boaz out of Rahab. And Boaz fathered Obed out of Ruth. And Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David, the king. Now, I'm sure you didn't count that number, but it's 14. 14 generations. So between 1,000 years took to bring these 14 generations. Now it would take a lot more generations to go 1,000 years. But at any rate, in those days they lived longer. And so it took 14 years to get all the way to King David. Now, and David, the next verse, which would be 7, and David the king fathered Solomon out of Hur, who had been the wife of Uriah. These little footnotes are very interesting because he's picking out some really naughty situations. It is to keep up the story. After all, we know the Old Testament. So it's making clear that this is the Solomon I'm talking about. This is the, you know, Jacob and so on and so forth. It's telling you everything that you need to know. Little sidebars. And David the king fathered Solomon out of Hur, who had been the wife of Uriah. But then you see, the Uriah doesn't count, so you don't see who he fathered, because he was dead. He was killed. A young man who fought very hard for him. But anyway, Solomon fathered Rehoboam. And he had other sons, Jeroboam and some on. But anyway, this is the only one they mention. And Rehoboam fathered Abijah. And Abijah fathered Asa. And Asa fathered Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat fathered Jehoram. Jehoram fathered Uzziah. And Uzziah fathered Jotham. And Jotham fathered Ahaz. And Ahaz fathered Hezekiah. Hezekiah, Manasseh. Manasseh, Amon. Amon fathered Josiah. Josiah fathered Jehoiakim and his brothers. And that was until the carrying away to Babylon. So there you have another 14 generations, all the way down to that last king is the last king that was king. And after that, then it's going to be difficult, because he was taken to Babylon, and they were exiles now, and so their kingship ended. That king died, blinded and chained and so on and so forth. So that was the end of Israel. So the devil finally won. After 28 generations, he won. Beat Abraham's. Now Abraham's covenant is gone. However, how many know that God always has an ace up his sleeve? Well, I don't know if it's up his sleeve, but he always comes through. Why? Because he can't lie. He is good, and he is powerful, and he is wise. So he has figured everything out, because he knows everything before it even begins. He knows the end from the beginning. So listen to this now, another 14. And after the carrying away of Babylon, Jehoiakim fathered Shealtiel. Shealtiel fathered Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel fathered Abiud. Abiud fathered Eliakim. Eliakim fathered Edzor. Edzor fathered Sadok. Sadok fathered Achim. And Achim fathered Eliud. Eliud fathered Eleazar. Eleazar fathered Matan. Matan fathered Jacob. Jacob fathered Joseph, the betrothed husband of Mary. So you notice that these words here, betrothed is not in the Greek, but as we read down a little further, you'll see that he is the betrothed. So they don't want anyone to get mixed up on this, that he is not sleeping with her as a husband and wife. He is a husband who hasn't yet come together. So that's why it puts that in there, to make clear to anybody who reads this. And Jacob fathered Joseph, the betrothed husband of Mary. In other words, they've been married, but she's just engaged. We would call it engagement, but this is much more than engagement. they actually will come together at a certain point, and they're already called husband and wife because of the covenant. But then you always have to wait at least a year. It could be longer, but at least a year to see if the woman does something wrong. And so, therefore, if the woman does something wrong, and by the way, that's a picture of the church. If the woman does something wrong, then the husband may divorce her or let her go. So he never did marry her, because in common law, it isn't the ceremony that makes the marriage. It isn't the church that makes the marriage. It isn't anything else except living together and physically communing with one another, having then that intimate knowledge. Now, that intimate knowledge is physical, not spiritual. It may also be spiritual, but it's also physical. And without that, there is no marriage. And so marriage in the betrothal sense means that she was an alma in the Old Testament, already married but not yet come together. And so this will be pointed out. The husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ. Okay, so he was called that, and you know why he was called that? He was called the Christ, because that's a title, but his name was Jesus. His name was Jesus. Why? Because that means in Hebrew, Yeshua, which means the yeh is always future, he shall, and then save, or redeem. In other words, he'll take something and redeem it, purchase it, buy it out of the marketplace, take it home, and then use it to his own purpose. How many know if he buys you in the marketplace and you got a few cracks in you, he can come home and fix it? So Jesus bought all of us broken. Everybody that he bought in the marketplace, which he bought everybody, he bought the whole marketplace. I want everybody. Especially, I want Dan to be here, and so on. So he purchases us, brings us home, and then I don't know how he does it, but he has a repair system that works. Somehow you're better than you originally were. You are not just natural now. You don't have just existence, biological, natural life, but you also have the choice, the ability to choose your essence, not just your existence. When you choose your essence, that means, who should I be? How should I behave? In what manner should I live my life? I can either live it under him, or I can live it against him on my own, independent of him. And since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, God should just have wiped us out. The day you eat of it, you'll die. We should just have, you sin, you die. That law. But he decided not to do it that way because he's good and he's powerful and he's wise. And so in his wisdom, he used his power to make us holy even though we weren't. To make us holy by mercy, then to make us holy by the Holy Spirit that he actually puts in you because you believed in the mercy. Because you believed in the mercy of this Savior who redeemed you, even though you were cracked and broken, he actually pulled you out of the marketplace, purchased you, paid full price for something that was worthless. How much are you charging for this one, Alex? How much are you charging? We're going to throw him in the trash. He broke the other day. How much was it originally? It was $1,000. Okay, well, I'll buy that. In fact, I'll pay $2,000 for him. He's going to be beautiful when I get done with him. So that's what he did to each of us. He purchased you at full price, and his valuation is much greater. No, I've been looking for this for a long time. This is exactly what I want. So, Alex, you're special. Amen. Is that good?
It's awesome.
Awesome. All right. Now, next verse. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. And from David to the carrying away to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the carrying away to Babylon until Christ, 14 generations, 42 generations. So these 42 generations, all the way from Abraham to Jesus Christ, represents 2,000 years. Abraham was born 2,000 years into the world. In other words, it was 2,000 years from 4004 BC to the time of Abraham. And then another 2,000 years. So now we're in the fourth day for God. 4,000 years for God is just 4 days. So the week isn't over. So for God, history is only 7,000 years. We're already in the 7,000th year. So it was 2,000 years ago that Jesus was born to our day. And then it was 2,000 years before that to Abraham's day, and 2,000 before that to Adam's day. So there you have the whole history of the world, 6,000 years. And then the next event will be Jesus coming back after the Antichrist. And as soon as the Antichrist is done, Jesus will come back and then rescue us again. And he'll marry us. We'll be married for 1,000 years, and that could be in a few years. That could be less than 10 years, for example. It could be very soon, and I would like it to be soon because I don't want to keel over. I would like to be here when he comes, but I have no way to make that happen because only God knows the day and the hour. But I suspicion that we're close, and therefore it could be in our lifetime. So stay alive, everybody. Eat well, sleep well, you know, live well, and be prepared. Next one. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. The birth of Jesus Christ, Matthew 1, verse 18. Now, of Jesus Christ, it says in the Greek, to de Jesu Christu he genosis, or genesis. Now, this birth coming into being was miraculous. It was something unusual. Well, it's God. But not just that he likes to show off by doing miracles, but because he had to be holy from heaven, and it had to be then miraculous because the holy and the unholy don't fit together. So Mary being sinful, even though the Catholics said she's immaculate and so on, that's ridiculous. That's not true. It's not in the Bible. But anyway, because Mary was sinful and we were sinful, to take on our sinful nature would be impossible for him. But he could become a man who wasn't sinful, one who did obey the Father, and come down in a holy special way. That would mean Joseph couldn't be the dad. That would mean Joseph could not be the father. So here's what it says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this way, for his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, her husband. So her earthly husband, Joseph, is not holy. He's Jewish, but Jewish people aren't holy, even though they were set aside to be holy. In other words, do his will. Like, of all the people on the earth, I'm going to pick you to do it. Well, they didn't. And so the Jewish people sinned over and over and over and over and over again. Just, in fact, they even adopted the Baalim, the false gods of their neighbors. And so they not only weren't holy, but they were completely unholy. And they were even worse because they now tried to lie to God that, no, we don't worship Baal. And God can see that you actually are a materialist, that you're actually lustful, that you actually only care about this world and so on. God can see all that, sin. And so it can lie to him all day long and pretend on the outside that you're a Christian, when in fact your heart and soul and strength is not for the Lord, but it's for yourself. Now, nobody here is like that, because you've been born again. And what born again means is not that you improved. What born again means is that you believe that Jesus, who is perfect, was perfect for you.
Amen.
For me. For all of us. That's why he's called the Savior. That's why he's called Soter, the Savior in Greek. And so he is the one that redeems us. He's the one that purchases us out of the marketplace and changes us from one degree of glory to another degree of glory until we are absolutely ready to be his bride and marry him. And when he comes back this time, the second time, first time he just came and found us, purchased us, and then now the Holy Spirit's been cleaning us up ever since. And then he'll come back when we're ready. As soon as we're ready, the bride hath made herself ready. Then he'll not only be married to her, because he's already married to us. We're already his bride, but we haven't yet consummated the marriage. We haven't yet physically, but in this case, spiritually, been married to him, because none of us are perfected yet. None of us are perfected yet. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
So the reason that Jesus came into the world, 4,000 years into the world, and on the fourth day, in other words, and why there's been 2,000 years now, and he's about to come back, I guarantee you, it has to be soon. It can't be at the end of the 7,000th. It's got to be somewhere in the beginning. So within the next, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years or so, he will be back. We know the season. We do not know the exact hour or day. But a lot of people are guessing it'll be at trumpets. Other people are guessing this and that and so on and so forth. Some will say in the spring and some and so on. But it's kind of a surprise. And when he comes back, it'll all of a sudden, oh, yeah, I see. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's that way. But it'll be obvious to us when he comes back, but it's not obvious right now, exactly what it is he's finishing. Of course, you know that as Pastor Jim, who studies this stuff night and day, I have my own ideas, but I'm going to keep them to myself because I don't want to be stoned later. All right. So the birth of Jesus took place in this way, for his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together. She was discovered to be pregnant in her womb. In other words, she was already, had been fathered by somebody. And of course, Joseph will misunderstand because he knew it wasn't him. How many know that he had a way to find that out because he knew he hadn't been with her. So that was easy for him. So he thought, I'll just divorce her, put her away. Because you're liable to do that. Maybe you can do that if you haven't yet come together. You can always end the common law marriage, or that's just simply the way that marriages took place. We never were together. So you're not husband and wife. And so he has to say it then. I'm no longer married to her. And then they stone her. And to stone her would be her death. And the Muslims still carry on that tradition today. They're carrying it on literally. And I'm sure they'll do it in this country as well at a certain point. And maybe they do already in Michigan. Maybe they do it already in any place that accepts Sharia law. So you don't know. But this is what happened. But she was discovered to be pregnant in the womb by, this is the means by which, the Holy Spirit. So the baby will be holy because the father is holy. And so she herself, and you know why she's called holy? She's called holy, a virgin, not because she's a virgin. She's called holy because she believed. She's called holy because she believed. So the miracle of Christmas is not how great we are or how good we are, whether we've been naughty or nice. That's not the miracle. The miracle is that we believe. That's the greatest miracle. The greatest. Not that God created the world in, 7 days. Not that God, even sent Jesus into the world. The greatest miracle of Christmas is that we believed. That's the greatest.
Praise the Lord.
I want you to understand that. That is a miracle. And you didn't do it. You didn't do it. You just heard it. Faith comes by hearing. You heard it. And you believed it and said, I believe that. I believe that Jesus is my righteousness. I believe that he did come to redeem me. And I believe that I'm a work in progress. But by the time he comes back the second time, I will be ready. Because he's the one building me. He's the one preparing me. He's the one getting me ready. I'm not doing it. If it were up to me, I wouldn't make it. if it were up to me, I would not be perfected. I am not able to be perfected. As Christians, we still depend on him.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
On Christians, we talk to him every day. I talk to him all the way here, driving. All the time talking to him, because he's my beloved. He's my friend, my everything. Everything in my life, I don't have a life apart from him. I literally do not believe I have a life apart from him. Mm-hmm. So he is my joy and my peace, and things can go wrong and doesn't bother me a bit. Things can go right, and I don't care about it. I don't care how it goes. I totally trust Jesus. I don't care if it's good or bad. It doesn't matter to me, because I totally trust him to make it all come out right. So whether I'm suffering or whether I'm feeling good or, you know, having everything go my way, it really is irrelevant to me. Once you're in love, you don't care about anything. You don't even think about that. You just think about your beloved. That's it. Because I know I had no hope. I know no one would have married me. And I know Jesus wanted to. And that still amazes me to this day. And so I literally, when no one's looking, love him. So, you know, you can't prove that because you're all here looking. But the truth is, that is the case, is that I don't have a life apart from him. I don't have a natural existence anymore. I still have it. But I don't have any confidence in that natural existence, nor my natural choices. So neither my essence, what I chose, nor my existence that I was, are worth anything to me now from my natural birth, because I've been born again, born from above and no thin. I've been born from heaven above. And so that's now my new existence, which means now I can make better choices, different choices. I actually can do holy works that are wrought in God. And I believe that to be the case. In other words, I actually believe I am a new creation, though I still feel like my old self at times. I still act like my old self, smell like my old self, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't believe that anymore. Why? And why does that please God? Because even though I still know how to sin, I still know how. And I can do it. Does anybody else have that capacity still? And so it looks like I'm still human, but I'm trusting not myself to become spiritual. I'm trusting him to not only forgive me every day, but also to change me every day until I'm perfected just before his return, or at the moment of his return. I'll get my new body and my new soul, but I already believe I'm a new creation in my spirit, in my heart.
Amen.
By faith, totally by faith, not by works. In other words, none of my works are good enough. So this birth is important. But her husband Joseph, being just, being a just man, dikaios, not willing to make her a public example. Notice he didn't wish that. Thumia. He didn't want that. He liked her, and even though he couldn't stay married to her, he had to divorce her and get rid of her. Yet, you remember the angel came to him and so on and so forth and said, it's okay, you can go ahead and marry her. But even though he wished not to, he said to her, look, here's what I recommend. Just go away now, go back to your father's house, and nothing will be said. And I'm sorry about the baby thing. You know, you're going to have to deal with that, you and your parents. But I can't help you here. I can't help you here. I can't. As a good, just man, I can't keep you as wife. We're betrothed. We haven't come together yet, but I'm going to have to let you go. And that was a bad thing if that had happened, because people would ask, where's Mary? I haven't seen her for several months. And so she was not in good shape now. And after the fifth month, you're going to be visible. You're going to be seen. It's going to be hard to do it. So you can't cover it up. But anyway, so he's getting rid of her, and that was his. But he wished not to do it publicly, where she'd be killed. Just let her go, and whoever it was that did this, let them take care of it. I'm not going to take it. So it's not an abortion. It's nothing like that. It's just simply God putting her there and knowing that Joseph would put her away. As, you know, Israel found no room in the inn for Jesus when he's born. In other words, the people of God didn't like God. They didn't want God to be God. Isn't that amazing? How you can be a Christian and there are certain days when you don't want God to be God. You just want to be God yourself. Do it your own way. So that rebellion is not just in Joseph. It's in all of us. That I don't want to see this Jesus guy born because I don't think he's mine. I don't think he belongs to me. Yeah, but he does in the sense of the royal family, but he doesn't in the sense of, you know, that you weren't the father. But that's actually because there's nothing you can father in this world that won't be sinful. Okay? But that's all right because Jesus has come to redeem all of that. That's the good news here. He's turning bad news into good news. So I'm not afraid of bad news anymore. Why? Because Jesus knows how to turn it all into good news. Now, being just and not willing to make her a public example, he purposed in his heart to put her away secretly. And as he was thinking about, the actual word there is meditating. He was meditating, cogitating, tossing it over in his mind. God, I really loved her. I can't believe. She's the best girl. I just don't understand why this is happening. And, well, I don't know what to do. I guess I did the right thing. But he was cogitating, and all of a sudden he gets this visit. And while he purposed to put her away secretly, and as he was thinking about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord was seen by him. Like, whoa, what are you doing here? Whoa, you're tall. How many know that the angels are 15 feet, or is it 16? I forget if it's 16. Maybe it's 18. I can't remember how tall they are. But it's hard for them to get into houses. You know, they have to crunch way down. So this angel visits him, and he has this little speech for him. And as he was thinking about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord was seen by him in a dream. So while you're dreaming, Joseph was just dreaming away, like Israel. And God did a nice thing. Also quietly. Nobody saw it but Joseph. Nobody ever saw this angel but Joseph did. And Mary had already seen the same angel. It's Gabriel. And that one had also been seen by Elizabeth, the kinsman. So this guy Gabriel's busy at Christmas time. And he was thinking about these things. Behold, an angel of the Lord was seen by him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Don't fear. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that in her is fathered. There the word is not supplied in the English translation. It's actually written out. And it's related to the word Genesis or Geneo. And so he came into existence by the Holy Spirit. That's why you could put it in the verse above, because it's obvious there that he was betrothed, which means they hadn't had physical relations. They had not had any kind of consummation of the marriage, so that it was a true marriage before God. But her husband, being Joseph, being just, not willing to make her, he purposed to put her away. So we know what his intention was. But God wants to change your own intention about what's going on in your life and give you good news. That is wonderful. That many people, for example, think of suicide at this time of year. Many. Because instead of the joyful memories that they had as little kids, their life didn't turn out that good. And now they're alcoholics or they're drug addicts or they're in a miserable relationship or just life stinks. They're sick, whatever. They're broke. Just people give up. And so they think of putting away, divorcing themselves from this world altogether and take their life. Don't. Amen. God has you here for a purpose. And his purposes are not dependent on you. They're just dependent on his love,
Amen.
His power, his mercy, his goodness, his greatness. And so let God be God. Let God give you a present. Let him give you a gift. Let him take care of everything for you. And guess what? It's a lot better than what you had in mind. You cannot make a decision that will be so bad that God doesn't have a better, wonderful, glorious idea for you.
Amen.
So don't ever think, oh, I've ruined my own life. No, you haven't. You can ruin it all you want. God's still, you're alive. There's still hope that God will offer to you and has offered to you right here. He's offering to you a son who is our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Joseph, son of David, in other words, you're from the royal house, which is in no good shape right now. Nevertheless, do not be afraid. Don't worry about, you know, your religion. To take Mary as your wife, for that in her is fathered by the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you, he's the only one that's going to give this name, shall call his name Jesus. And so that word, Jesus, in Hebrew, Yeshua, means he shall save. So that's what you're going to call him. And so when the baby is born, Joseph names the baby because of the angel. And Mary was okay with that because she knew she was going to have a son, did not know what his name would be, but it can't be Joseph. It can't be Joseph. It has to be a different name, and in this case, it's a name that close to he shall save. Nope, it's not close to. It's exactly. That's his name. It has to be he shall save. And God gave that name through the angel to Joseph to use then the day that he's born. He shall bear a son. That, you know, it's always good when you have a baby in your womb to make sure it's going to come. And people are worried about that because things can happen where, you know, sometimes they don't come. In my case, where, you know, my mother was highly encouraged by grandmother to abort me, the idea was, you're not going to have a life if you bear this son without a good husband and you're not picking good men, a bunch of losers. And so I came from a bunch of losers. I love it. It doesn't bother me a bit. I'm just glad I'm here. A perfect mother, perfect everything. Everything's just the way it should be. I mean, you know that Jesus was born in a similar kind of fashion where it was questionable. I mean, from the Bible, of course, it's obvious. It's a good thing. But from the Jewish point of view, that guy was a bastard. He was not born properly. And, you know, this whole thing shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have come about. Something bad. So that's a bad reputation to be born that way. In my case, I was born at home, so no hospital ever had my records. And I was 4 years old before I had my first, and that's, you know, two men later. That was the first time I had a birth certificate. I now possess and own three birth certificates because my mother kept, you know, moving. And so then I was Andrew James, and then I was, you know, James something else, my second dad's name. And then I had another name from my third dad. And so they kept changing it, and I'm just a little kid. I don't know who I am. Now, what's my name today? you're Arthur now. Oh, okay. Because that was my third dad's brother's name. So, you know, I kept getting new names. So it's a good thing I hadn't been in school too long, because they would say, oh, who are you? But I love chaos. You have to love chaos. God allows it. We've had 6,000 years of it. Chaos. There's darkness in this world, deep. And even though life keeps going on, the only reason it keeps going on and why there's hope is because he has a plan. And he never gives up his plan. I like that about God, that even though it's been 6,000 years, he's never forgotten his original idea. And he's going to have exactly what he wanted, and I'm part of that. And Alex, you're going to be part of that. And Margaret, you're going to be part of that. So that's pretty exciting, is to have a God who only wants good for you, and he has all the goodness, all the wisdom, all the power, everything that's required to make us like himself. And that's exactly his plan, is to have numberless host. So don't think it's going to be a billion. It's going to be numberless, you know, a lot more than people imagine. You can't even number them. And he shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. His people, God's people. Did you know we're God's people?
Thank you, Lord.
He's going to save his people. Who are his people? Anybody who has faith. Anybody. Anybody can be his people. As a matter of fact, he'd like to save everybody. Is there room in heaven for everybody? Yeah. He's got an apartment building up there that's huge. Goes 1,500 miles up in the air. That's a lot of apartments. And it's 1,500 wide, and it's 1,500 deep. That's a cube. That's a big cube. So how many people can you put in that high rise? It's inconceivable. So I believe there's going to be a lot of rooms up there. I don't know how big our rooms are. I guess they're going to be roomy. But it's going to be awesome. That goes all the way from the Mississippi to the Atlantic, 1,500 or, you know, either way. Or it goes all the way from, you know, down in Mexico all the way up into Canada. That is a big cube. And then it goes way up in the sky. 36,000 airplanes might fly. So that's nothing. That is nothing compared to 1,500 miles. So that's just a few miles up. Imagine having something that goes beyond the universe. Goes big. It's huge. It's really going up tall. Now all this happened, we're almost done here, so that might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin will conceive in her womb and will bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel." Why that? Because what he's saying is, that's what he'll be called, God with us. His name is Jesus in terms of a legal name and a description of him. But he's also being described as God with us. And so Emmanuel means that God is going to be imminent with us. He's going to be right next to us. He's going to come down and dwell with us. Pleased, you know, to dwell with men. And Jesus will be right here in the midst of us, looking like, acting like, and talking like. No, not talking like, and not acting like the rest of us. He will look like, but not act like, not decide like, not think like. He will think like heaven. And you know what? You're being changed right now. That's the gift of Christmas, your gift, your present with your name on it. To be more and more like him every day. Sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. So the Lord is changing us from glory to glory. And I know that. I know that personally. I'm not ashamed to say, without doubt or question, that I don't have any doubts about who I am or where I'm going or where I came from. I've been born from heaven above. And I know I'm going back to heaven after 1,000 years on earth with Jesus. I don't mean I'll be here. I just mean I'll be ruling and reigning over this earth for 1,000 years. And so I have no doubt about that in my mind, in my heart, in my life. Now, behold, the virgin will conceive in her womb. Conception is real. Conception is 9 months before birth, normally, and will bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And being aroused from sleep, Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took his wife, and did not know her until she bore her son, the firstborn. Okay, that firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, Yeshua. So, that is so powerful. That is so powerful. Because firstborn is prototokon. Prototokon. Proto means first, like proton. And tikto is meaning creation. So this is a new creation. Jesus will be part of the new creation, and he's going to be the father of it. He is going to be the father, or the one who births the rest of us into this, even Mary herself, by faith. So you are fathered not physically, but spiritually. That's why you're spiritually born from above. You can't see it because it's not a self-evident truth. It doesn't belong to this world. It belongs to a spiritual truth that comes from heaven above in history, in time and space. How that's possible, we cannot conceive. So you can't say, well, look, here, listen to what it says, and then think people will understand you. They do not understand you. They cannot understand you. You are saying things that are not self-evident.
Right.
That a reasonable person can never accept this. That's why professors at SMU, for the most part, do not believe in Jesus, even though it's, you know, a Christian school. They don't believe in Jesus because they have no proof. There's no way you can test them in the test tube or, you know, put him to the test. But I dare say there'll be some on the campus who do believe in Jesus, but most smart people do not. And, you know, that's just the way it's going to be, that the wise in this world actually are fools. And the foolish in this world who accept what Jesus has said, what God has said in this book, that's us. That's us. So you can be as smart as you can be, but that doesn't help you at all, because you have to set aside, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now that's hard to believe, that we have an intimate relationship with the living God, and that we ourselves are born from above, being changed daily, and soon will be perfected, and then we'll be ruling and reigning, and then inherit everything in heaven. Everything in heaven will be ours. So nothing will be kept from you. In this world, yes, you suffer. Not like suffering like you're going to be poor and sick, but suffering like, even though you believe in heaven, you haven't yet seen it. But you have seen the first fruits. And you can testify of those. I know there's a God because this is what he did for me. Now you can always make a testimony. And that testimony is important, but some people hate it. Some people hate your testimony. You're not a Christian. And they'll put you down, they'll mock you, and some will chop your head off, literally. Because they don't want to hear that there's hope in this world. They want to continue to believe their lies and deceits. For me, this is the happiest festival this time of the year. And I don't believe it's even at this time of the year. You know that.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when it was. It was at that time. And so that it's in the fall rather than spring or in the summer or whatever, I don't care. But I've done my own research, and I believe it wasn't now. But at any rate, whenever it was, we celebrate it now. Doesn't hurt a thing. Doesn't hurt a thing. And it's kind of a gloomy time outside anyway, so it's good to have a happy festival in this gloomy time. So the light came into the world, and that light was the light of men. Okay? His life became our light. In other words, if you want to be enlightened, don't follow philosophy. Don't follow humanism. Don't follow this world. But instead, follow this book. This book right here is the only way you can find out about the truth that I just said. And you can buy these. You can own these books. Amen. Jacob, do you have one? All right. And always bring it. So you can actually purchase these. And I think you can buy two now. I think you can buy two of these. And I would read these daily. I do, but I'm pastor. I have to do it because I'm paid to. But even so, I love it. And I would do it if I wasn't paid to. But it does help. It does help. So I love it.
Yeah.
Now, I hope this Christmas is going to be festive for you and joyous, because God's gift to mankind is perfect.
Amen.
It's just what we need. It's exactly. And I wish all of your faces would be like little children who get that doll or that truck or, you know, whatever it is that they were looking for, a piece of clothing, new automobile in the case of older kids, and so on and so forth, a husband, you know, whatever it is you're asking for.
Amen.
The gift that God gave to us in Jesus Christ is worth all the other gifts combined.
Yes.
You know, your desires for all those things, you can have them. But he's got something even better that he gave 2,000 years ago. And that gift is still alive. That gift is a gift that never stops giving.
Amen.
And so, hope you all have that. Yes. Anyone like to testify? Now, in closing, on Christmas Eve, we're going to have two services in Fort Worth. That's a long way for you to go, and I wouldn't blame you for not going at all. But I just wanted to let you know, they'll both be candlelight services. I would recommend, since you're here in Dallas, coming at the 7 o'clock one. But we also have an 11 o'clock one for those that stay up late. And there are many people that do. They work late or whatever. And so we have both services. It's powerful to go over the story of his coming into the world, the incarnation, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's powerful to go over it, even though you know it. It's powerful to remind yourself over and over again, this is really real, as Alex said. It's very real. And for me, it is. But it's not for everybody, even Christians. For them, it's just a story, and it's an interesting story. But they're more interested in the life here. They're more interested in this world than they are in this world as a light and salt for everybody else for the next. But not for me. I'm already done with this world, even though I'm having a good time here. I'm finished with this world. I don't need it to give me anything. I'm not looking for anything more. I've been super abundantly blessed. But I'm looking forward to the world to come and his coming back. And that'll be powerful. So the next thing will be the millennium. That's the next thing on the agenda, even though there's a little 3.5-year period of trouble. That's nothing to me. In fact, who for the joy that set before him, he endured the cross. So, what's 3.5 years of trouble? Doesn't mean anything to me. It's like going on a camping trip, you know. Because I know on the other end, I'm going to come out, you know, okay. So as I'm all right today, so I'll be all right then. There's no new devil. It's not like something new that you haven't seen before. So I'm not really worried about what he can do. I already know how evil man can be. I myself was one of those. And how cold and nasty and anti-Christian this world can become. Well, it's not going to just go back to where it was. But that doesn't mean that you can't, in this world, have heaven on earth. Now.
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
And I plan to. So, no matter what happens, I don't plan to be discouraged or defeated. I won't be.
Amen.
All right, time? All right, got to go. Peggy will have my hide.
Can we say a prayer?
Yeah.
You can, but without me, because I'm going to have to run. I love y'all. Merry Christmas, in case I don't see you. You're the best. You're the best. Amen.